Absolutely.
Last week I wasn't here. I was in Las Vegas visiting a cousin who has cancer. He had colon cancer, I think it was 2 years ago, and his life was barely saved that time. Like most people in my family, we were diligent about checkups. The doctor one day said, I feel like I've had pneumonia for a little while. It was metastasis of the cancer in the lung. He said, one way, bros. And we looked and we said, what? He said, God's the only way.
Amen.
It's kind of neat because here you are. You don't know who's watching. And you don't know what sort of, what that prayer did to edify him. And it meant a lot to us.
Awesome. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Speaking of Vince, he told me he was going to be here this morning. He's on crutches. He had surgery Thursday. I think, and it went very well. He was all excited. He could move his big toe. You know, he had surgery on his foot because his foot had been broken for quite a while. But so be praying for him. Maybe he's still hobbling his way down the steps to get here. I don't know, but hallelujah. I thank God for tough guys like Vince who are willing to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I need Jesus in my life. And, you know, God's just been doing some awesome things. Anyone else like to share something that God's been doing? Before I move on? Well, of course you can. Amen. Somebody needs a healing. And Danny's feeling like the Lord's just impressed on him. Just call out to him and he'll heal you. So let's do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for what you're doing in this place. We give you praise for this testimony that we've just heard and received, and God, just a glimmer of hope for someone who is ailing, someone who is sick. But God, I believe today it's your desire to heal the sick. And if there's anyone here this morning, whoever it may be, if you're sick, if you're ailing, if you have disease, if you have brokenness in your body, then we lift you up in the name of Jesus. And I pray for healing in this place. If that's you this morning, then I ask that you would just call out to him right now, either in your heart or with your lips, however the case may be. Just call out to Jesus, say, Lord, I need a healing today. I even receive it myself. I need a healing today in my body. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone. That it wouldn't be just one, but it would be for everyone. Heal us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, Sandy. Give it. Amen.
But the point is, God's got to have the glory.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Maybe you need to learn how to play the guitar, like David, when he played his instrument, the evil spirit left Saul and he stopped chucking spears at him.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 3. We're just going to read this. This is kind of the prelude. Remember last week I told you I had a sermon prepared, and God, just sent me off in another direction. This was kind of the beginning of it. But I'm going to maybe go a little different direction today too, but we'll see. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal or toward the mark for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, how you use it to speak to our hearts and change our lives. And I pray that's what you do today. Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you will give us new revelation, that you'll draw us closer to Christ and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things Paul talks about here. He talks about how, to beware of the dogs, beware of those the mutilation. And what he's talking about there is people that were trying to put the Old Testament laws back on the church and things like that. And then he says, you know what, if anybody could stand up and say that, they were righteous in the law, he says, I was righteous in the law. I was a Hebrew. I was a Pharisee. And I took part in all these things. And I was circumcised and all that stuff. And right here, Paul is talking about the religious spirit that he had when he was in that state, which caused him to persecute Christians as though he and those like him were the only righteous ones. And anyone not like him had to be punished for their ways, for their errant ways. And you know what? We have to be careful when we go forward as believers that we don't become just like the Pharisees, and we don't become, we don't get the mindset that, oh, we're the only ones that are right, and anybody not like us are wrong, and therefore we get this puffed up attitude, and then you know what, then we become those dogs, and we become those that he described as evil workers. We need to be humble, and what Paul said is, you know what, all the righteousness, all the stuff that I had before, I count it all just lost. And, some of your book, in the King James, it says dung. He counted it all as manure. That he would know a more excellent way. You see, God had opened his eyes to the foolishness of his own ego and his own trust in himself. And really, that's what we have to be careful of that as well. Well, I've been saved for, so many tens of years or however many, and I know it all, and I've heard it all, and I do it all, and therefore, yeah, whatever. Don't trust in yourself. Paul decided, you know what? I count it all foolishness. His own ego, his own trust in himself, so that the only one he put his faith in was Jesus Christ. And this is what I want you to understand. There's only one who saves us. There's only one who can help us. There's only one who will get us to heaven. Because if we think that anything that we have done, and you know what, we're talking about, and I'm going to talk a little bit, we'll read that passage about works in a few minutes. But we're talking about the things that we've been doing, you know, going out and serving, you know, the community and doing these things. And guess what? We have to be careful while we're doing that. Not to get so puffed up and say, oh, look what we did. You know, it's very dangerous place to be. When you think that you're righteous because of your own ego, your own righteousness, your own works, we have to be careful. Paul realized that everything he had trusted in himself was dung, and that he counted it all loss in order that he could know a more excellent way through faith in Jesus Christ. I've said this 100 times, I'll say it 100 more, or maybe 1,000, I don't know. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, do good things. But don't do good things to be saved. Do good things because you're saved. We cannot earn our way into heaven. You know, there's a verse, I think I have it here. Hey, oh, a clicker. Oh, well. My backup clicker's on his way back. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe I need a new battery. That's all right. I've only got a few slides. It's not a big deal. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands firm take heed lest he fall. This is a verse that we use quite often in Celebrate Recovery. Because in Celebrate Recovery, you know, that program, people will find themselves growing in God. People will find themselves starting to, you know, get away from the issues of their life and getting, you know, but no, it doesn't matter who you are. We have to be careful that we don't get a place in our life where we think, you know what, I've got it all together. And nothing can happen to me now because I'm doing it right. And so, you know, Paul was saying, all the stuff that I've done, all of the knowledge that I've attained, all of the deeds that I take part in, it's all worth nothing outside of my faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul also lived his life as though he hadn't yet attained the prize, which I think is very important for each and every one of us. He says in verse 12 of that passage that we just read there in Philippians, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward for those things which are ahead. You see, I had a conversation this week with a couple of different people. And you know what? Let me see your hand. If you have had conversation with somebody who said, you know what? I went to this church and I really didn't get anything out of the message. You ever heard that? I talked to another guy. Faithfully goes to this particular church. Actually, I didn't talk to him. I talked to one of his relatives who told me the story. Faithfully goes to this one particular church and was asked, are you still going to the church? Yeah, I'm still going to that church, but I don't know why. You ever heard a conversation like that? You see, that scares me. That concerns me. I never want to get to the place where going to church is irrelevant. And I hope that you never get to the place in your life where you feel that I didn't get anything out of that today. What's the point? Why am I bothering? You know, we get to that place, it's a very dangerous place, but you know, if we live our lives the way that Paul just talked about here, I live as though I haven't yet attained. You see, what happens is we'll go to church and we'll hear all the messages, we'll read our Bibles, we'll spend some time in prayer, but if we get to that place where we feel like we've got it all, we've attained it, I know the scripture, I know what it says, I've done this and I've done that, and I've heard all the messages, I could probably, and you know what, there's probably half the people in here could preach just as well as I could the Word of God because they know it that well. But when we get to that place where we feel like, I've attained it, I'm good. You get to that place, it's dangerous. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands firm take heed lest he fall. You see, I think it's very important for people, you know, I think people backslide because they stop looking forward. And I think one of the reasons why Paul says, you know what, I press on. All the stuff I learned yesterday, guess what? That's yesterday. I'm pressing on. I'm going forward as though I haven't attained yet. You know, when you feel like you've already reached the prize, you've already received it, what's the point in going any farther? Right? But I think God wants us to live our lives in such a way that we continually know there's more. And one of the reasons why I enjoy my salvation so much is because I know every single day is brand new. I know every single day I can take a step closer to God. Every day I can meet someone new. I can learn something new. I can feel His presence again, fresh and new. Just like I haven't ever received anything from Him before. Keep moving forward. Press on as though you haven't attained. And you'll find yourself living life in such a way like Paul, looking forward to the next day. I can't wait till the next time I get to church. I can't wait till the next prayer meeting. Oh, by the way, Friday night, I'm thinking about changing the format for our Friday night worship night, the music night. It's a new year, and I want to do something a little different. I still want to invite people to bring their instruments in and bring their songs, but I want it more to be not so much a jam session, but more of a prayer service, prayer and worship service. I've had many people ask me, well, what do you do there? Because there are people that are hungry, people that want to pray, people that want to spend time in God's presence. So I'm thinking about doing that on Friday night. So if you come out on Friday night, we'll start at like 7 o'clock, and I don't know how long we'll go. This Friday night. It's the last Friday night of each week. Or each month, I'm sorry. Last Friday night of each week. The last Friday night of each month. Yeah. The last Friday of each month, we'll do that. And we'll try that and see where that takes us for a little bit of a season. You know, where we come in and you know, we'll still sing some praise songs and we'll still sing some worship songs. But we're going to, you know, allow more of an atmosphere of prayer versus, you know, the jam session, which is fun. But, you know, I just think that God wants us to move a little bit different direction. But anyway, live your life in such a way that it's like, well, maybe I haven't got it there. I haven't reached it yet. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. My wife and I watched a little documentary about a basketball team, and they strove and they strove and they strove, trying to win the championship. And I was thinking about that. It's like, you know, years they strove, years they tried harder, years they kept competing, years they kept refining, years they kept trying to do better. And year after year, they would fail, they would fail, they would fail. They'd get so close and they would fail and it would devastate. But you know what? They would pick themselves up the next year and they would try harder and they would go farther. And then they finally won the championship. And for the men that once they got that prize in their hands, it was like they've accomplished it. They've reached their goal. What now? What now? And so if we as believers, we come to the understanding, you know what, I'm saved. I'm good. I know I'm going to heaven. And that may all be well and good. But if we get to that place where we feel like, well, there's really nothing left for me to do because I've already won the prize. If we get to that place, then we can become complacent and we can become lazy and we can decide, you know what? Well, yeah, I already got what I'm looking for, so I'm just going to. You're going to backslide. That's what you're going to do. You're going to fall away. You're going to stop going to church because it doesn't matter anymore. You're going to stop listening to messages because you don't get anything out of them anymore because you've already attained. And so like Paul here says, I have not. Not that I have already attained and already perfected. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things are ahead. Do you know, and I want you, you know, I wish I could put some, just a measure of encouragement in you today. Do you know there's greater things yet coming? Do you know that? Just because you've studied the Bible, you've prayed, you've come to salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've done good things, doesn't mean it's over. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Look at James chapter 2. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You know, think about that just for a moment. He says, well, you know, you believe that there is one God. You do well. But you know what? Even the devil believes that. And guess what? The devil doesn't produce any works. That's why that next line says, faith without works is dead. Leastwise, the devil doesn't do any works that glorify God. Let's put it that way. Because he certainly does works. He does a whole lot of things that are not good, that God hasn't called us to do. Faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know what? That is something that I really would like for people to say. I need a drink. Every now and again, I got to look at my wife. She reins me in. I get a little excited. Take a breath. I would like people to look at this congregation and say, you know what? There's a church that believes God. There's a group of believers over there. They believe God. How do you know they believe God? Look at what they're doing. Right? Believe God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man justified by works, a man that is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. How can you tell somebody that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior if you don't do the works that justify what you just said? And you know what? the conversation I had with this gentleman the other day who told me that he told me that it was his father that said, I don't know why I go to church anymore. I don't get anything about it. I said, you know what you need to encourage your father to do? Encourage your father to serve somebody, to do something. We've been talking a lot about service lately. And I've been finding how powerful service is. You want to reach the heart of the community? Go serve them. Go help them. Go bless them. The other day I was walking into Lowe's. And there's this woman coming out. You know, we have no idea what's going on around us unless we get involved. Unless we touch people. We interact with people. There's this woman coming out, and she had this normal shopping cart. It was full of, you know, 8-foot boards, you know, 1x4 boards, and a regular shopping cart. How many know that a regular shopping cart's only like 3 feet long, and the boards are 8 feet long, and so they're flipping all over the place. And she's coming, and she's stuck between the doors, and there's boards all over. And so I go, and I get them all gathered up for her, and she says, well, I'm going to go get somebody to help. And I said to her, there's somebody to help right here. And I just grabbed all the boards, and I headed out the door. And so as I'm walking out the door with this woman, she starts to tell me her story. She says, well, these boards are for my son. He's going to build himself a sanctuary. He's got colon cancer at 30 years old. And so I just started talking with her, and she's telling me her story. We get to her car. I put the boards in for her. I said, what's your son's name? She tells me his name. I said, what's your name? She tells me his name. I said, well, my name is Dale, and I'm a pastor, and I want to pray for you. And she just wept. And she let me pray for her. You know what? If our works are done in the open, they'll see Christ right there in the parking lot. Amen? Serve people. The people around you, it's amazing. You know, we walk past people all day long, and we have no idea what's going on in their lives. I'll guarantee you, if you take a look at the person sitting next to you right here, there's something going on in their life where they could really appreciate some prayer. They could appreciate somebody who just cares enough to say, hey, you know what, can I help you with that? Just making yourself available for God to use and then being faithful in doing it. And you know what, last week I talked about hitting the mark, right? I hit the mark at Lowe's, boom, right there. And it's powerful. Changed her life, changed mine. You know what? I've been doing this stuff for years. I haven't attained yet. I gained a little more that day, but there's more to gain. Another conversation I had with my insurance company. I went to pay my insurance bill. I ended up in his office having a conversation with the insurance agent. He starts telling me what's going on in his life. Wife, 8 months pregnant, bed rest, low blood pressure, struggling. This father who totally discouraged. A couple other things. Before I left, I said, you know what? What's your wife's name? What's your new baby's name? They already had a name for the unborn child. I prayed for them by name. I prayed for the father. I get up to leave, and he's choked up. He goes, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. I told him about, you know, the things we've been doing in the storage and the furniture and all that stuff. I'm one guy. And I'm so excited. I'm more excited about ministry today than I ever have been. And I want you to be that excited. Because I'm one guy. Can you imagine? There's probably about 40 people here this morning. Can you imagine if 40 people were out there doing, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, coming alongside those that are hurting, and just giving them some encouragement and some prayer? It's powerful. It's life-changing. Let me look at one more verse of Scripture. Oh, we're already there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I only share these stories, believe me, I do not want to I do not want any accolades. I do not want to feel puffed up because I was able to touch a couple lives. I tell you these stories because I want to encourage you to do that too. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, Paul talks to the Corinthians there. It's similar to what he said to the Philippians. You know what? I haven't attained yet. It's similar to what he said to James, or similar to what James said when he said, you know what? I got to get busy. I'm not done. There's more to do. What Paul's telling to the Corinthians here, you know what? I'm going to run this race, and I'm not stopping until it's over. I'm going to get that prize. And I hope that that's where all of you are. I hope that I can encourage you today. Go for it. Just go for it. You know what? You don't have to worry about what's going on, the sin in your own life. You come to Jesus Christ, He'll take care of that. He'll cover you. I know people that are like, well, you know, I can't, nobody's going to listen to me. You know, if you know where I came from, how many, if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me, well, I can't go in there, the place would fall down, I'd be rich.
You are rich.
I am rich, thank you, Jesus. Just not with nickels from people saying the place will fall down. Anybody that says, you know what, I'm not worthy. Amen, brother, you're not worthy. Neither am I. None of us are. Anybody that says, I can't. No kidding, I can't either. Did you hear Sandy's testimony? She couldn't either, but she did. Right? Anybody that says, you know, it's impossible. You need to read the Word of God and understand all things are possible. God wants to use you. I don't know where you're at in your walk. I don't know if you even are following Jesus Christ today, but I want to encourage you. If you don't even know what I'm talking about when I say following Jesus Christ, I want you to ask somebody today. Don't let the rest of the day go by without saying, what's that guy talking about, following Jesus Christ? Because you will not experience life to the fullest until you can come alongside somebody and just love them the way Jesus loves them. It's powerful. It's life-changing. You know, I'm always hoping that when we come in this place and we leave, I've said this many times too, we come in this place, we leave different. We leave changed. We leave like we've been in God's presence. We leave like He's imparted something in our lives. I had a pastor the other day ask me, he goes, can you tell me the people who have influenced your life and why? And I started naming off things. People who have invested in my life. People who have touched me in such a powerful way. And I shared with him the story about my wife's grandmother, who I think really imparted something spiritual in me that is carrying me to this day. And there's so much more. I don't think I've even totally tapped into what it was she put in me spiritually. And I shared with him why I believe that, you know, how Mary, when she greeted Elizabeth, that the Holy Spirit hit her at that time. I believe there's power in a greeting. And when my wife's grandmother greeted me, she imparted something to me. It changed my life. And he asked me the question. He said, well, what was she wearing? You know, was it a warm day, a sunny day? Was it in the morning? Was it in the afternoon? I don't know why. He's just one of those guys that he was looking for. I'm not sure what he's trying to figure out. But you know what? I knew the answer to everything. Because when somebody has an impact on your life, you don't forget it. God wants you and I to be those people who have an impact on somebody's life. It's powerful. And you can think about your own life. Who are the people who influenced you? Who are the people that got you to where you're at today? You remember it. I remember when I was 13 years old and my neighbor went for a walk with me and just listened. I remember that. I've never forgotten that because it had an impact on my life. I remember the different pastors and the different people in my childhood, the teachers. And you know what I'm realizing? I want to be that for somebody else. And I'm realizing that, you know what? All the stuff I've learned, really, the greatest thing I can do to have an impact in anybody's life is lead them to Jesus Christ. Love them the way that Jesus loves them. Help them the way that Jesus would help them. If they need food, feed them. If they need clothes, clothe them. If they need furniture, apparently that seems to be our ministry lately, go find somebody that has a dresser to give away and haul it out over there for them and carry it up their stairs and set it in their place and say, God bless you, have a great day. And you know what? They'll never forget the day that you touched them with Jesus' hands. Isn't that awesome? But you know what? Don't think that you've attained yet. And don't stop doing good works to reach that prize. Because as soon as you do, all of a sudden church won't matter to you anymore. You won't get anything out of the message anymore. And it'll be like, what's the point? And you'll backslide. And you'll fall out of the purpose and the plan and the power of what Jesus Christ has for you to do. Amen. Stand with me this morning. The last line I have in my notes here simply says, run to win. Run to win. Don't look back. How many know if you're looking back while you're running, you're not running as fast as you can? Right? You're losing momentum. Used to always, my son used to run cross country, and he's always running. He's talking to the kid next to him. I'm like, Dallas, stop talking and get running. You want to win this thing. Don't waste energy on anything but what Jesus has called you to do. And what he's called you to do is to love God and love your neighbor. And how do you prove that you love God? And how do you prove that you love your neighbor? By serving. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who have been discouraged in a church, that today they would be encouraged. If there's any this morning who are tired of hearing messages that just doesn't impact them, I pray, God, that they would get impacted by every word that comes forth from your Holy Spirit. Lord, that none would be discouraged, that none would be disqualified. I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that we would run this race to win it. Running as though we haven't attained the prize. Running, Lord God, in such a way that we can prove that we really want to win it. Bless each one here today, Lord God. Open our eyes to the people that are around us. Just to simply lend a hand or lend an ear or lend a shoulder or whatever it is that they need. Help us, Lord, to provide it for them through you. We can't do it on our own. We need you so desperately to lead us, to empower us, and to help us to serve in the way that you would want those around us to be served. If there are any here today who do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would repent of their sin, turn to you, and never look back. Lord, forgive us all of our sin. Fill us with your Spirit. And show us, God, the work that you have prepared for us, that none would be left behind. Bless your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, a while ago, I was, every morning I would make you practice the message, right? Because, I mean, there's we do need to preach the gospel. And so knowing how to preach the gospel, and tonight actually we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how to incorporate service along with the message. So please, you know, if you're interested in that, come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll continue through our externally focused church. But I made you practice by looking at each other in the church, because if we can't get comfortable asking each other, hey, do you know Jesus? Then how are we going to do it to the lost? Or, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Then how are we going to do that? So let's practice that one time. Look at your neighbor and say, can I tell you about Jesus? Yes. Oh, I heard a few yeses. Hallelujah. All right, now. Okay, well, I want to take another step. I want to go a little deeper. Uh-oh. Sarah's like, uh-oh. Oh, Bill doesn't want to know about Jesus. Be praying for our bass player. He needs it. I want to take it one step further, because now we're moving from just, you know, sharing the gospel, but we're talking now about showing the gospel through works. So how are we going to practice that? I want you to look at your neighbor and ask them, hey, can I help you with something this week? And if there's something that you need help in, let them know, right? Let them know. If you need help with something, don't be afraid. Let them know. But then if you're really willing to do it, don't leave this place without setting up a time so that you can go help them, all right? If we can't do this with ourselves, how are we going to do it with the lost, right? And so, amen. Practice on each other. Yes. Absolutely.
The meal.
Yep, go right ahead. I think we could do that. It'd be all right, guys. We get some rolls and drinks for next Sunday. We'll have lunch together, and then there's already drinks downstairs. Awesome. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that.